Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Oh, I'm so jammed up right now. I don't know whether I should play Kenny Wheaton's pick, like I always do, during Duck Husky Week when softy Dave Maher from KJR in Seattle comes on, or should I play the Facebook Live that he provided last year? He didn't make the game last year, and Washington missed a field goal at the end of regulation, and Oregon won the game in overtime. I guess I'll just bring him on. Here's Softy from KJR in Seattle. How are you, man? You going to be at the game this week?
First of all, it wasn't Facebook Live. It was Twitter, number one, Periscope, I believe. and then number two, that video's gone. I'm tired of you idiots having your phone in it. And number three, you play the Kenny Wheaton thing, I'm hanging up on you.
Wow.
I'm tired of seeing that freaking thing. Yeah, I mean, I got these freaking dipsticks from the Pac-12 Network tweeting out the Kenny Wheaton pick today on their Twitter account. Like, I got to watch that, seriously. And then these bozos are going to tell me in December and January to back the pack. Whatever freaking bowl game Oregon's in, you want to shove that down my throat and then get me to jump on the Oregon wagon and support the Ducks in a bowl game? How about you go kiss my ass? How's that sound?
Dave Maher from KJR in Seattle. Hey, what uniform were Oregon wear? Do we know yet?
Well, that's the thing, man. I don't even know what the hell your colors are down there anymore. And by the way, I told your producer this. She may have told you. I'm not sure. I literally just parked my car. I'm in Bellevue. I'm walking into a Glassy Baby store. Mm. You guys know what Glassy Baby is?
No. Help me. Tell us.
Okay, they sell like glass, like votives, I guess, for like candles and stuff, whatever. Mm. They're like $75 a pop, and my wife has about 50 of them. And I'm walking into the store right now to buy one for her. So,
it's her birthday?
I may have to keep my voice down here as I walk into the store.
No, we can't have that.
I'm doing a live radio interview in Portland right now, giving you guys a little bit of a plug. Say hi to John.
Hi, John.
Hello. Hey, give him a good deal. He just gave you guys a shout-out.
That's the gal here from the Glassy Baby store. So I'm looking for something for my wife as we speak right now. But the hell are we talking about? Oh, yeah, the Oregon colors. I wore my Sonic jacket the other day, a couple days ago. You know, got kind of late running out of the house and just grabbed whatever was in my coat rack and wore my green and gold Sonic jacket. And I walked into UW and somebody said, really, you're going to wear that during Oregon week? I said, why? And they said, well, those are Oregon's colors. I say, how do I know what Oregon's colors are anymore? Well, 1 week they're wearing black, they're wearing white, they're wearing pink, they're wearing polka dot, they're wearing blue, they're wearing purple. I got no freaking idea what the hell Oregon's colors are anymore. Do you?
What happened at the end of last year's game? Because, you know, we have the audio of you, and we play it once in a while. Just when we're having a bad day, we'll play it, and we'll go. And you had the small TV or something in your house, and then you had the field goal missed, and you were also sick. What happened? What happened last year?
I was sick as a dog. I mean, what's there to figure out? I was sick as a dog. I was puking everywhere, and I wasn't feeling great. Had a horrible headache and a cold and the whole spiel, and just decided to stay home. I'm kind of glad I did stay home, to be totally honest with you, because if I drove down there in the RV and watched that freaking mess and that field goal missed by Peyton Henry, I would have felt even worse about the freaking thing. So I'm glad I stayed home last year. That was the first Oregon-Washington game that I've missed in probably, I don't know, 20, 22, 23 years, to be honest with you. So if I had to pick one to miss, it may as well be that one.
Right now, you know, you have Washington that did not show against Stanford. I don't know what happened there. I saw the first half with Arizona, and I thought, gosh, what is wrong with this Chris Peterson team? Then the second half, all of a sudden, there's somebody else. What happened?
Well, number 15 is part of it, to be totally honest with you. The freshman from Utah, from Orem Pukunukua, right outside Provo, obviously, he stepped up and was a great vertical threat for them in that game. And frankly, their offensive line also did a much better job. I mean, you got to remember that Jackson Kirkland, their right guard, got hurt in that game. Nick Harris, their starting center, was out. And Mateo Melli was starting the entire day. So they never really had their entire offensive line for the entire day. Henry Bainavalu, the freshman from Sammamish High School, came in the second half and really had some problems getting his bearings early and then kind of got his feet under him, I thought, John, as the game went on. So bottom line is they just had to get their you-know-what together. I mean, I'd say something worse, but we're on live radio. Don't want to get anybody fired over there. They just had to get their crap together, and that's what happened in that second half. That was almost like they just went in the locker room, dude, and just said enough. I mean, Jacob Eason apparently stepped up and gave like an E.F. Hutton, Tim Tebow-type speech at halftime in the locker room of that game. But the bottom line is they scored 38 points, and Jacob Eason had a passer rating of 158.3 by NFL standards, perfect, as you know, in the second half. So it was a totally different animal in the second half versus the first half, but it came against Arizona and the worst defense potentially in this conference. So I'm hoping that they found something that can translate to this game against Oregon, but we'll see how much of that was really just about facing Arizona. By the way, I am now outside of the Glassy Baby store, so apologize for that.
Did you shoplift? Did you shoplift?
I did not shoplift. All right. I paid. Let's see how much I just paid for a freaking glass votive. I just paid $82 for a glass votive for my wife. Yeah, there you go, man. Like I said, you got about 50 of these things. I mean, can't she get a cheaper freaking hobby for crying out loud?
You love her, though. Dave Softy Mahler is with us. Dave, how much does Washington miss Jonathan Smith? Is that narrative valid as a play caller?
Not really, to be totally honest. I don't think it's got a damn thing to do with Jonathan Smith. I think Jonathan Smith was vastly underrated as a play caller. I think Jonathan Smith took way too much crap from people up here, as you and I have talked about before. But I think in the end, this is about talent. I mean, look, go back to the two games they've lost, the Cal game and the Stanford game. What do those two games have in common? Wide receivers dropping passes all over the place. Okay, we're talking about 5'10", 5'11", 195-pound wide receivers dropping balls all over the damn place. Hell, even against Stanford, Hunter Bryant, their great tight end, was dropping passes. So the two, I mean, really the one common theme in those two games is guys just couldn't catch a freaking cold. That's got nothing to do with Bush Hamden. I mean, Bush Hamden's job as an offensive coordinator is to put players in position to make plays. He was doing that all day versus California and all day versus Stanford. Those guys just weren't catching the ball. So honestly, if there's anybody who should be criticized on the coaching staff, and I tend to put that more on the players. I mean, look, you guys, you're not babies. You're not 25-year-old pros, but you're not 12-year-old peewee players either. Catch the freaking ball. I don't give a damn how hard Jacob Eason throws. Catch the damn ball. So if there is any criticism from those two games from a coaching perspective, put it on the wide receivers coach. Put it on Junior Adams, you know, a guy that you've known for a long time down there with his Oregon State ties. So I just think that's the bottom line, man. Catch the damn ball. Bush Hamden's been calling plays that put receivers in position to make catches, and for those two games, at least, they were not making them. That's got nothing to do with Jonathan Smith not being here.
The Huskies dominated this series before that Kenny Wheaton interception, and then, you know, Oregon under Chip Kelly, you know, reels off 12 in a row. That had to be hard. Yeah. Chris Peterson then answers.
That had to be hard.
Answers
the wrong with you?
70-21 was a strong answer. 38-3 was another answer. Last year, the overtime game between us, I think Washington probably should have won the game at the end of regulation, but didn't.
They should have.
But now it looks like Oregon's got the upper hand. They're favored in this game. Everybody's talking about Oregon again. Is there a fear with a Husky fan base that 12 in a row is about to happen again?
Oh, shut the hell up. Are you out of your freaking mind? Are you serious? Really?
Are they scared?
You're going to put me on the air, and you're gonna tell me that you do me a favor by not playing the freaking Kenny Wheaton highlight, and you're going to ask me something like
Come on.
Am I concerned that 12 in a row was going to happen again? Are you out of your freaking mind?
Is it like...
12 in a row, John. 12 in a row is never going to happen again. Ever, 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 ever. That's never going to happen again. I mean, let's not forget why 12 in a row happened, first of all. 12 in a row happened because Oregon football took advantage of the worst decade of Husky football, at least in my lifetime. 12 in a row happened because Oregon football took advantage of the laziest head coach in this program's history in Tyron Willingham, a guy that literally was hired one day and then 2 weeks later was out playing golf when he should have been recruiting, okay? So, no. Look, 0-12 in 2008 was a freaking aberration. When they fired Tyron Willingham, they should have gotten him off the sideline, never let him finish the season. Maybe they would have won a game. Maybe they would have won two. You can say there's not a big difference between 1-11 and 0-12, but trust me, there's a gigantic difference between those two. 12 in a row is never, ever, ever going to happen again in this series, ever.
Chris Peterson.
No, I'm not scared of that happening. Don't ask silly questions.
Well, look, I wonder.
Caster of the year for a reason. Don't ask silly questions.
If a team beats another team 12 in a row, I have to think that fan base gets scarred by it. We saw when 70-21 win was like a catharsis.
It was. First of all, you're right. On that day, it was very cathartic for all of us. There's no question about that. But if not for Peyton Henry missing a 37-yard field goal, and really more so, I think, in last year's game, if not for Chris Peterson pulling the plug on the offense maybe a bit too soon, I would have continued on at least maybe a couple more plays and gotten the kicker, Peyton Henry, a little bit closer, maybe a 31, 30-yard field goal. If he wouldn't have pulled the plug on that and Peyton Henry makes that field goal, we're talking three in a row, right, over Oregon right now. We're talking about maybe UW running off a streak like you guys had, during the last decade or so. Hey, look, I mean, as far as the game on Saturday, am I scared? Am I fearful? First of all, I'm nervous for every freaking Husky game. That's number one. And number two, no, I'm not scared of Oregon. I mean, who the hell has Oregon beaten this year? They haven't beaten anybody, right? I mean, look at the resume. Cal, Stanford, Colorado, Nevada, Montana State. I mean, get out of here, right? I mean, the most impressive thing that Oregon's done, and trust me, I'm not saying that Washington's going to win this game on Saturday. I would not be shocked at all if Oregon won the game. Hell, they're favored, for God's sakes. But what do I have to fear? I mean, they're a three-point underdog. The best thing that Oregon has on their resume, I think, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, at least this year's team, is probably the first three quarters versus Auburn. Outside of that, what have they done? They destroyed a terrible Colorado team. They struggled against California. They struggled against Stanford. I mean, this is not a very impressive resume.
They beat Stanford bad, but they were boring doing it.
They beat Stanford. We're going to argue over Stanford. Stanford stinks. And they beat Washington. I know that. That's why that game was so damn humiliating for me, because Stanford's awful. But again, what has Oregon done on their resume that makes you look and
what
say,
happened?
Wow, this is a pretty awful
What happened
game.
In that Stanford game? That one, to me, I said there's no way Washington loses that game. And then Washington loses the game.
I just told you, drop passes, man. They couldn't catch a cold. It was terrible. I mean, they were out-physicaled by them, which is also a major problem. Their red zone offense in that game was the turd sandwich, which is also a major problem, and that's a big factor for the game on Saturday, by the way. We can chat about that game in a second. But I just think in the end, the lack of physicality by the wide receivers, and that's going to be a big question for me on Saturday. I mean, this Oregon pass defense is great. I mean, stats-wise, number two in the nation, yards per attempt on defense through the air, and all those numbers look awesome, but how physical is this Oregon secondary? Because if they start letting these guys run all over the field, the kryptonite for them has been physical corners and physical safeties. So you tell me, do these guys play press? Do they play man? Do they get in your face and try to jam you at the line of scrimmage? How physical is this defensive secondary?
It's physical. I think that's going to be their thing. But my thing with Oregon is I don't know how good Herbert is. He's been built up. I haven't seen him have that big game or that big moment.
Right.
They get conservative with their play calling. And if they get that way against a Washington team that comes to play, I think it's a game.
Well, I'll tell you this right now. You and I have talked about Herbert before. I like Justin a lot as a guy. I think he's a nice kid. I think he's very respectful. That doesn't mean jack squat on Saturday. I think Justin Herbert's been massively overrated as a quarterback in college football, or the Oregon coaches aren't very good. You can't have both. You can't have it both ways. You can't tell me on one hand that Justin Herbert is going to be the number one pick or a top five pick in the NFL draft, and then look at this offense that for the most part has struggled through the air the entire year. I mean, look, I understand that there's been some receivers that have been banged up. I get that. I get that Juwan Johnson has been hurt almost the entire season. I get that Breland is out right now. But the fact of the matter is that Marcus Arroyo should be better as a play caller. This offense should be better with Justin Herbert, just like Washington's offense should be better with Jacob Eason, for God's sakes, at quarterback. But Jacob Eason's been here for 1 year. Justin Herbert's been down there for four. So that offense should be better, and I'm very curious. To me, the biggest matchup that I'm looking forward to, John, honestly, on Saturday, is Jimmy Lake versus Marcus Arroyo. Does Marcus Arroyo have the smarts? Does Marcus Arroyo have the brains to out-scheme and outsmart Jimmy Lake? Because the two games the Huskies have lost so far, they didn't lose because of their defense. They gave up 20 to California, 23 to Stanford. Yes, at times the defense was getting pushed around, but that's because they're young and lost nine guys from last year's team. I fully expect that Jimmy Lake will have something ready for Marcus Arroyo that he has not seen so far this year. And not having Breland in this game is a big equalizer, in my opinion. So the matchups of defensive coordinator versus offensive coordinator, we'll see who wins that battle on Saturday, big boy.
Marcus Arroyo might be the biggest advantage Washington has. If he comes out and doesn't remember that he's got a quarterback that we all think is really good and doesn't get that guy going, you're right. It's probably a game that's like a 20-17, a 24-21 game. But
absolutely.
I wonder if Washington will score more than 14 points, though, against Oregon's defense. Oregon's defense not letting. Does that worry you that Washington might come out and get shut out?
Shut out, no. Scoring in the teens, yeah. I mean, this is a Washington offense that has not been good inside the red zone. Their touchdown percentage is hovering around 50%, and Oregon's allowed 2 red zone touchdowns the entire season, right? I mean, they've only got. Oregon's defense only allowed 14 red zone trips the whole year. So, yeah, I mean, that's a concern for me, despite the fact that Washington's offense got on track last week versus Arizona. I mean, to me, you almost kind of chuck that out. That's a different animal now, this Saturday versus you guys. But the red zone defense for Oregon concerns me. The pass defense concerns me. The run defense, not as strong as the pass defense, but overall, pretty impressive what they've done. I mean, hell, I told Cristobal to his friggin' face in July at Media Day that I was impressed with what they've done defensively. That defense couldn't stop anybody, 2-3 years ago. I mean, you saw it down there in person in 2016, 2017 up here in Seattle. So the transformation of that defense, what they've done down there has been pretty impressive. So that, to me, is a huge, huge issue for me on Saturday. Can Washington move the ball? Can they run the ball on the Oregon defense? Can they get inside the red zone and get 6 and not 3? And then special teams. I mean, look, special teams is an absolute advantage for Washington. I mean, nobody's going to freaking argue that. It's stupid to even debate the kicking situation. Oregon has no kicker. I mean, Peyton Henry, for as bad as he was missing that kick last year from 37 yards, is 14 for 14, including what should have been a game-winning 50-yarder against Cal. So there isn't.
Yeah, but isn't Mario Cristobal a little in his head? I mean, he did ice him last year.
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that was all about Peterson pulling the plug on the offense too early, like I just told you. But you're not paying attention to anything I tell you.
Oregon's going to want to make this a physical game. Is Washington physical?
We'll find out. They were not against Stanford. We'll find out on Saturday. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be exactly what Oregon's all about. This is not your grandmother's or grandfather's Oregon offense. They're not running that, crazy, speed offense that Chip Kelly used to run down there and Mike Bellotti. It's a pistol offense that relies on physicality and fights and phone booths. And so far, Washington has not proven they can handle that. Didn't handle it great against Cal, didn't handle it great against Stanford. But again, if wide receivers catch footballs, it's a completely different animal in both those games. So we'll see. I mean, they should be able to handle that. They've got an experienced offensive line for as good as Oregon's offensive line is, and they're very good. This is an offensive line that's got a ton of experience with Trey Adams and Hilbers and Rottenberg and Nick Harris. And Jackson Kirkland was a starter as a sophomore last year. So we'll see. Nick Harris may not play in the game, by the way. He missed the Arizona game, their starting center. And he's week to week, which everybody that's hurt on Washington week to week. So Mateo Mele had to get the start a week ago. We'll see about Jackson Kirkland as well at right guard. Bainavalu may be out there again this weekend. But if Nick Harris is out and Harris and Kirkland are both out, that's 40% of the Washington offensive line, man. That's something to keep an eye on for sure.
I'll give you a silver lining. I mean, if Oregon does make it 12 in a row, if they win 11 more of these, Washington would still be ahead in the series by like 3 wins. So you're good.
Say that. I mean, you'll be how old when that happens? 95?
Hey, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the press box. I always love having you on. You got no filter. You know I love that about you. And I almost bought you a big TV because we kept hearing on Facebook Live that you had this little TV you were watching on.
Yeah, I got a small TV downstairs, a big TV upstairs. Let me ask you this, though.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that Oregon's run game is not as good as it used to be?
Yes.
Okay.
It's historically bad. It's been historically bad.
California, but I mean, I see Verdell, and the only real big game he's had all year is against Colorado.
Oregon right now, if you gave Oregon a draft, if they could take any players from Oregon State, they would take the running backs from Oregon State, I think, in a heartbeat. I think their backs, these are not downhill backs, and I don't think they have like a true number one back.
Well, they're going to make them beat them through the air because they'll try and take away the run for sure. They'll take away Dye, they'll take away Verdell, and they'll try to make an inexperienced, if not very good but still inexperienced in some ways Oregon receiving corps without Breland, I mean, I would think that that's going to be the plan, is to stack the box and make Justin Herbert beat him through the air. And, I mean, again, I mean, Justin Herbert on the road has not impressed me. Hell, Oregon under Cristobal has not impressed me on the road. I see a guy like Justin Herbert who, at times, I don't like his affect. I don't like his facial expressions. He looks like a freaking deer in headlights sometimes away from Austin Stadium. So we'll see. Maybe this is the day where he lights it up and proves people wrong.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, like, I don't think Cristobal has been very good in close games, kind of the game management part of this. I mean, the Auburn game, you saw what happened there, and last year's Stanford game, and I know they won the Washington game, but it took that missed field goal to do that last year. I think if a game is close, you got to say advantage Chris Peterson.
Well, you got to say advantage UW because of the field goal situation. I mean, again, we'll see what happens there, and I hope I'm not jinxing Peyton Henry with this, but I think they got a much better situation at field goal kicker and probably a much better situation at punter too. So we'll see if it comes down to that. But yeah, you're right. The Auburn game, that was a low point for Mario Cristobal and that coaching staff. That's going to piss off Oregon fans even, six, seven games later. But you had that game in the palm of your hands and the coaching staff gave it away.
Softy, appreciate you, man. Happy birthday to your wife.
Yeah, thanks, pal. See you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday. There he is. Dave Mulher from KJR in Seattle. Mulher does a really good job doing what he does. You see how he's pushing his buttons there? You guys get that?
I loved it.
Did you get that? I was kind of just poking
him. Oh, yeah.
Just kind of poking him in the ribs.
Oh, yeah.
Poking him here, poking him there. I'll take your phone calls, your reaction to that. You just heard him. Is he spitting truth there, or is he a fan who's blinded by his own allegiance? 503-417-7575. Legitimate takeaways from my interview with Softy Dave Mulher of KJR in Seattle. Huge Husky honk. Legitimate takeaways. Mario Cristobal's coach factor, the X factor for Cristobal. That's something you got to watch on Saturday. I think that could matter if this is a 20-17 game. Marcus Arroyo as a coordinator against Jimmy Lake, the Huskies defensive coordinator. That is a mismatch to me. Lake's the better of the two coordinators. I think Lake is the highest paid coordinator in the conference right now, now that Jim Levitt's out of the conference. And you got him against Marcus Arroyo. I think that's a mismatch there that Oregon's got to overcome. I hope that Marcus Arroyo gets Justin Herbert going. That is a factor. Oregon, to Softy's point, cannot have this come down to a field goal. It can't be a field goal situation. If Washington punts 11 times, Oregon's winning this game. Keep an eye, too, on the run game of Oregon versus the run game of Washington. I know Mario Cristobal will preach to his team the physicality of this game being extra important and being vital. I'm curious how Oregon will come out in this game against Washington. The game being on the road would have been a bigger concern, I think, earlier in the season. I do trust this team a little more now that I've seen them go to Stanford and win a game. And I just don't know if Washington's very good. The way they lost to Stanford, the first half they played against Arizona, I'm looking at Washington going, gosh, how good are they? I also don't know if Oregon is that good. I think Oregon's decent. I think Oregon's the best team in the North. But I don't know if you can hold up victory over Colorado on Friday, victory against Stanford, victory against Cal, and go, all right, they are definitively the best team in the North Division. I think they're the best team in the North Division. I think those are all questions that are going to have to be answered Saturday. One thing I do know, I do think Utah is the best team in the South. I think Utah is far more physical than anybody in this conference right now. And I know that Utah lost to USC on a Friday night by a touchdown. It's their only loss of the year. It's a 7-point loss on the road on a Friday night. I just look at the physicality of Utah and I say, man, that is the most physical team. All right, our 2 at 2 is coming up, but I want you to tell me what your takeaways from the game are at from the interview with Softy, 503-417-7575. you tell me about this game and what you're thinking about. Jesse's in Selwood. Jesse, go ahead.
Well, it was exhausting listening to Softy, first of all. That was a little much. I did like the ribbing. I appreciated that because that drove me nuts. But, yeah, I'm obviously a Doc Hall. It's 110,000,000% Arroyo. I am so tired of vanilla ice cream. And when you have a stud in the backfield, play caller like Herbert, and he just seems to the deer in the headlights look, I don't even know how much of it is his fault. I think he needs to be cut loose. This offense needs to be creative. We need to use the weapons that we have, even despite the injuries at wide receiver. We need to use them better. And it's got to be this week. It's got to be in Seattle. It's got to be against the Puppies. Go Ducks.
I agree with you. I think Arroyo is huge. And in fact, I'm planning something in the run-up to the game on sort of that being the factor of the game. Is Marcus Arroyo going to show up with his most creative offensive game plan to this point? If he doesn't, this could be a close game. Like I tweeted out, I just don't believe, like, Washington's not scaring anybody. I don't believe Washington will pile drive Oregon. I don't think Washington comes into this game with better skill possession players. I don't think Washington has the better defense. Washington's playing at home, and Marcus Arroyo. Those are the two factors that I look at and go, okay, In what way does this game flip to the Huskies winning it? Roy's in Portland is going to give us an SEC perspective on this. Roy, go ahead. What do you think?
Hey, John, man. I love Softy, man. Softy is an SEC type of fan, man. He's a Big Ten type of fan, man. I mean, that was great, man. That was great radio, man, because, you know, he was knowledgeable about his team. He was passionate. That's the type of fans the Pac-12 needs, man. They need that type of fan, man. You need that type of fan base. You know, I don't really understand Oregon. I'm trying to figure them out. I think Cristobal Ball is doing well in recruiting, okay? If that slips even a little bit for Cristobal Ball, it's over with for Oregon. Because him and Arroyo, I still say Cristobal Ball doesn't impress me at all as a head coach. But he is winning some recruiting battles. So, but you know, I don't know. I don't know about this game. I actually think Oregon's gonna win this game. I like Jacob Eason, but I don't have confidence in Washington's defense, man.
Yeah.
I don't think Washington is a tough. I think Washington is not tough enough to beat Oregon this year. And, you know, I complain about Cristobal, but I will give him credit for making Oregon the toughest team in the Pac-12. But that's not saying much, you know. I mean, but I will give him credit on that. He's trying to bring that SEC fight, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. I'm going to beat you up on the offense and defense. He's trying to bring that to the Pac-12. But, I got Oregon.
You mentioned crazy SEC fans, like, mm-hmm. like unhinged is like a word that gets used when we talk about SEC fans. I feel like the Pac-12 needs more of that.
Yeah, the Pac-12 needs, like you did a show a while ago about how Oregon and Oregon State fans, how they talk about each other, how you shouldn't hate. Yes, you are supposed to hate your rival. I don't care. Listen, I hate Tennessee and Florida. Okay, as a Georgia boy, I don't care. If we beat Tennessee and Florida and lose all the rest of the game, that's a great season, okay? We can lose every game. As long as we beat Tennessee, Florida, and I throw Georgia Tech in there, that's a great season. You need hatred. You know what I mean? Oregon is not supposed to like Oregon State. You need hatred in your fans. Washington is not supposed to like Washington State. California is not supposed to like Stanford. UCLA is not supposed to like USC. It's all about that. That's what drives a great conference, great rivalry. You need that.
Roy in Portland saying you need that. It reminds me of that crazy Alabama fan that called into another national show after Alabama was lost a football game.
Hey, Cal Turd, you are just – I don't even have a name for you anymore, except cow turd. How dare you say that about Alabama? They lose a game. They lose a game, and they lost it to a good team. The team beat Alabama. But how can you say, after the dynasty took all these years, all these decades, one game is going to mean that Saban's dynasty is over? You're out of your freaking mind, cow turd. You need to go back to whatever the hell you was doing before you got on the radio. And how dare you call me out? You call me out, you're going to get me back. You hear me, you punk? How dare you? I don't understand the way you act towards it's Bama. That's what it is. It's Bama. You don't hate any team in this nation except for Bama. And you know why? Because they're better than what you've got. Nick Saban is a better man than you are. You could never coach because you don't have a bit of coaching in your body. You have nothing but to sit there and insult and down and just carry on about everybody that's doing something different than you. You're jealous. That's the bottom line. You're jealous. And Bama's coming back. Bama has not lost. The dynasty is not over. Do you hear me, Counterd? Bama's dynasty has just begun. Kiss my butt. Roll Tide.
You knew it was going to end with a Roll Tide. How many people like that do you know in Alabama?
Too many, but I have a question. Is this person a woman or a man?
I think it's a woman.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was a
woman. She's working at a diner, in my mind.
Yeah, like three teeth.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.